It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Recently, the Trump administration released new guidelines that are working to change how the Department of Health and Human Services delivers grant money to family planning service projects. This is part of a law known as Title 10, passed by Congress in 1970. As part of the new guidelines, the administration is looking to put a broader focus on what's called natural family planning, providing education and counseling that encourages lifestyles that support reproductive health and healthy pregnancies, and incorporating approaches that allow individuals to manage their own health, they say. This is meant to be instead, I guess, of contraceptives, which they argue do not address the root causes of health challenges related to fertility, pregnancy outcomes, and long-term health. Some of you might already be familiar with natural family planning, particularly if you've been associated with a Catholic church. So for the rest of the hour today, we're going to talk about natural family planning and contraceptives to get a better understanding of each and the role they play in the lives of our families. Up first, we're going to start with a natural family planning advocate, you could say. Father Christopher Trummer is a Catholic priest who serves as assistant delegate for healthcare for the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois. Father Trummer, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Great to be with you, Brian. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, you can join us, 800-222-9455. So give me a brief overview. What's the big idea behind natural family planning?
Yeah, the big idea is basically comes down to the church's view of what sex is about, what sex is for, and how we can uphold the value and the beauty of sex and its role within marriage. So natural family planning is an alternative to contraception that seeks to preserve what we would see as the integrity of what sex is about. So the church has always seen sexual intimacy as having a twofold purpose. Like, just by its very nature, we see it as having this twofold purpose. First, procreation. I think, you know, from a biological scientific perspective, that's pretty clear that that's part of what sex does and what it's for in that sense. But the second purpose being the unity of the couple, right? And this expression of intimacy and bonding that happens through intercourse. So the church sees those as essential to what sex is. And so if we want to uphold the beauty, the gift, the dignity of sex as it was created for us, we believe by God, a gift from God, then we want to make sure that sexual acts preserve both of those qualities. And we think that from a Catholic perspective, we would say that when we try to remove one component or one dimension of what sex is for, we end up severely undermining the quality of sex, and we kind of frustrate its purpose. So we would say that even the unitive aspect of sex is not really accomplished in the same way when people try to block or suspend the procreative aspect of it, and that sex can kind of become more of an occasion for use in both directions, but we can talk about that more with if we want to compare it more to contraception. We would see contraception as kind of enabling more of a use mentality, especially as contraception became very popular, that it became possible for especially men in relationships to engage in sexual intercourse without really fear of consequences, and it kind of eliminated the natural association between the commitment of marriage, of family, from the sexual act. And so it became possible for men to just kind of more use women, especially. It certainly could go in both directions, but especially for men. So that's a broad overview of so natural family planning is a different
method.
Yeah,
I should say we need to take a break in about a minute and a half. So I don't know if there's like an elevator pitch version of like what it actually consists of, you know, week to week, day to day.
Yeah, sure. Right. So natural family planning, the difference would be that rather than actively suppressing the woman's ability to conceive, you can avoid conception, you can avoid pregnancy, and still plan your family, which we believe planning a family, spacing births, not having children when it wouldn't be a good time to do so, we believe that's totally legitimate. But we think the means of doing it should uphold the dignity of sex. And natural family planning involves observing a woman's menstrual cycle fundamentally and avoiding sex at times where she could become pregnant in order to avoid a pregnancy, but without actively frustrating her ability to conceive.
Okay, that was a pretty good synopsis. We're going to take a break on the program. We'll continue with Father Christopher Trummer, who's with the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois. Do I need to say in Illinois? What's the only Springfield we care about here on the 21st show? So I'll just say the Diocese of Springfield. A little later in the program, we're going to hear from a physician, OBGYN, who works on reproductive medicine. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455. We're talking about the Trump administration's new guidelines from the Health and Human Services Department looking to move federal funding toward natural family planning. We'll be right back. This is the 21st show. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking for the rest of the hour today as part of a two-pronged conversation on reproductive health in America in 2026 about the Trump administration's new guidelines that's looking to change how the Department of Health and Human Services sends federal money for family planning projects. Previously, it could be contraceptives. They're looking to shift that now more to what's called natural family planning, right? Education and counseling that encourages lifestyles. One of their claims is that contraceptive use has declined among women, 65% in the late teens, down to 54% in the most recent survey, which was 2022-23. They say that's because of complaints about side effects, and they blame that for, you know, some additional health problems, or at least they say they are under investigated. I suppose this is part of the broader Make America Healthy Again movement. So we are talking about that with Father Christopher Trummer, who is a Catholic priest, assistant delegate for healthcare for the Diocese of Springfield in central Illinois. A little later, we're hoping to bring you a physician, an OBGYN, who specializes in reproductive medicine. 800-222-9455. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455. So, Father Trummer, tell me more about the church's teaching on contraception, right? Like, it's strictly banned. What is the policy there, or the guidance, however you want to phrase that?
Yeah, absolutely. So a key document people might have even heard of because it made a big splash in the late 1960s and 70s was from Pope Paul VI. It was called Humanae Vitae, on human life, and it clarified what the church had already taught, but it really spelled out in a definitive way that the church was opposed to the use of contraception for the preventing of pregnancy. So when we talk about the church being opposed to contraception, just to clarify, it's not an opposition to per se to the chemicals or the drugs that are being used. And the church actually acknowledges that there could be therapeutic uses of some of these same drugs, like the same drugs that would be in the pill, for example. So it's not that those medications or we have some opposition to a certain drug. It's really about the purpose of sexuality and wanting to uphold that in a positive way. And we see contraception as working against that, as frustrating that purpose. So contraception, we don't think it should ever be any form of contraception, any attempt to render the sexual act inherently sterile on purpose. It would be a contraceptive act. But as I mentioned before, in regard to the difference of natural family planning, that natural family planning doesn't render any sexual acts sterile or infertile on purpose. It's more just observing the pattern of fertility and then responding to that and engaging in sexual intimacy in a way that would avoid conception. But I know this can be hard for people because they think, well, it's the same end result, right? You're trying not to get pregnant.
Right. It seems like one could argue it's a distinction of, language or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it seems like it's kind of being nitpicky or something, or being finicky over the exact method. But we really see, and I think in the lived experience and talking to couples who've embraced natural family planning, we really see a real clear difference in the kind of mindset when we look at, the end of wanting to plan a family, the end or the intention of wanting to space out births or to avoid pregnancy in a time where that's maybe psychologically for the woman or maybe financially for the family, where that would be irresponsible, that's a perfectly good intention. We're not questioning that. The church is sometimes there's a caricature of the church that we just want everybody to have as many babies as possible, and you know, you can't ever, you know, avoid pregnancy or something like that. And that people can have that impression, but we really see there being a substantial difference in the means that are being used. And again, with contraception, doesn't have to be a conversation about what do we need in our family and when can we, really through virtue and through restraint and through discipline and respect for each other within that marriage, it's saying, okay, this isn't a time where we want to have a child, so we're going to refrain from that. But we just really, I know this is a different, the Catholic perspective on what sex is and why it's such a gift and its role within marriage. We have quite a different starting point, right? So, but we're really trying to uphold that positive vision of sexuality and how it's meant to, part of what makes it so powerful is that we see, you know, the sexual act as this total gift of yourself. I give myself totally to you, and you're giving yourself totally to me within marriage. We're committed to each other. We love each other. And part of that total gift includes the gift of one's fertility, the gift of one's ability to have children. And we see that as just kind of inherently undermined by coming in and we're trying to do an intervention where we actively block that rather than, yes, I give myself totally to you in natural family planning, but maybe we're going to, through restraint, through abstinence, we're trying to avoid a pregnancy right now. And that, obviously, the conversation goes to a different place when we look at, you know, once you've conceived. I think people are probably pretty aware of the church's opposition to abortion, but abortion oftentimes becomes an extension of contraception, because if contraception failed or if people didn't use it, then it becomes more necessary to, if you still want to prevent birth, you have to then make recourse to abortion.
So I'm going to do some gentle pushback here. There are numbers that folks cite that, you know, if you want like good effectiveness of this, you have to be really careful, really adherent, you know, perfect use is what a phrase I've seen in some of the medical journals. There was a 2011 research in the journal Contraception that found that roughly 1 in 4 women experience unintended pregnancy in the first year of using, you know, fertility awareness-based methods. So
yeah.
How do you say to people like, oh my gosh, I'm just like trying to, you know, get through the day, get to work on time. Maybe I have another kid already, trying to get him to soccer or whatever. Like, this is a lot of work. What do you say to people who come to you with that?
Yeah, I would say I've heard different numbers, and I don't want to get us bogged down in the different statistics that people have cited. And you're right, there is a difference between perfect use and typical use, as with anything. I have heard numbers, you know, to be fair, usually from advocates of natural family planning about typical use statistics on breakthrough conception, people who use the pill, women who use the pill, and couples that use contraception, obviously with condoms, but even with the pill and oral contraceptives, oftentimes as used, when people don't quite take it every day or they don't follow it as well as they should, there are also some breakthrough conceptions, but I honestly, I don't have at hand or have familiar the numbers on with typical use or the typical couple that's doing natural family planning, what is the rate of a breakthrough conception. And yeah, from a Catholic perspective, again, once you have that breakthrough conception or breakthrough birth, like we're totally opposed to abortion in that case, in any case. So it's not as if you have like some backup plan if you do get pregnant. And there has to be, there's still fundamentally an openness and a respect for life. So I guess we'd have to, again, I'm not a trained like NFP, you know, there's different models. I would say that there's a major one is the Creighton model that relies more on observation of cervical mucus and other biomarkers. There is a method called the Marquette method that was developed later that relies on, it's similar to like a woman using a pregnancy test where she uses a strip and that through a urine test, it's able to give a very accurate reading. So that's a lot less involved. It takes a lot less kind of work and being meticulous and charting and all this stuff. It's basically a little device that tells you where you're at in your cycle. And I've heard it's extremely accurate and effective, but again, I think too, even if we look at maybe NFP, if we looked at it and said it does have not quite as the same effectiveness as contraception. We would want to also look at those other factors that people are considering, right? And some of these movements toward more natural medicine, people wanting to address underlying causes. I've been really encouraged and really excited to honestly to see the development of this field of restorative reproductive medicine and people trying to really get down to underlying causes of infertility and just women who have experienced a lot of reproductive health issues. And I think oftentimes the pill is thrown at every different issue, and it seems to be just kind of masking and suppressing symptoms in many cases. I'm not saying it can never be effective, but in some cases, it seems like it's just not addressing underlying problems. And so women can be, whether it's endometriosis or polycystic ovary syndrome, some of these conditions, I think there's other treatments, other therapies, and even certain surgeries that could be used to address underlying problems so that someone isn't taking contraception to block that for years, and then later having to resort to the very costly use of IVF, to then make up for the fact that their system hasn't actually been healed.
Father Christopher Trummer is with the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois, 21st State. Appreciate your time. Thank you for being with us today on the
Yeah,
21st
thank
Show.
you.
And I'm going to go right now to Dr. Amanda Adelaide, who I understand is joining us. We had some patient care to do, so thank you so much for being with us, taking time out of your schedule today. We don't have much time left on the program. I should say she's founding partner and medical director at the Colorado Center for Reproductive Medicine, Fertility Chicago, which, even though it says Colorado in the name, it's actually in Chicago. So,
That's
Dr.
right.
Adelaide, thank you so much for being with us today. I wonder if you can respond to this idea, and we only have a few minutes, unfortunately. But the Trump administration says that this drop we've seen in usage of contraceptives in the recent years is because of side effects, and that somehow the medical establishment, such as it is not taking women's concerns seriously and the concerns about that this, that these drugs may have on long-term fertility and health. What do you think of that?
I think this all goes back to education. And I think that the general public isn't as well educated about women's health as they really should be or could be. And so I think that this sort of backlash to contraception is, unfortunately, in some ways misinformed, but is also a way of patients advocating for themselves and saying, listen, you haven't given me clarity as to the intention behind this birth control, so I'm going to stop it. But taking a step back, what I'd like to say is, when it comes to stimulating the ovaries, there are two hormones that are used, follicle stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone. And what birth control pills do, or other sort of hormonal contraceptives do, is try to block that signal. And so I bring that up to say it might seem simplistic to use these medications like birth control pills, but they have a much wider use than just for contraception. And it may seem simplistic, but our brains are great and they've been able to manage for, thousands of years signaling to our ovaries with essentially two hormones, follicle stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone. And so I do think, as an obstetrician and gynecologist and reproductive specialist, I do think we can do a better job of providing folks with more information about what is the intent of using hormonal contraception for their specific case. And it may not be the best fit for everyone, but I think the most important thing is that we all have a shared foundation of understanding of what these medicines do and why we're using them.
Well, this has really not been enough time to do the proper deep dive we wanted to on this issue. So I hope we can have you back at some point in the future. I guess bottom line, what the Trump administration is doing here, does that make you optimistic, right direction? I mean, you're somebody who's dealing with patients in this realm every day, or are you more worried about it?
I would say it's complicated. I think that there are certainly have been some areas of concern in terms of making sure everybody has access to the best health care available. I do have concerns around sort of non-evidence-based restrictions. On the other hand, I have heard some things from this administration that are optimistic or give hope. And I really do hope, as the Trump administration says, that they're, focused on helping people to build families. There are many meaningful ways to use public policy to help people to do that. And so I'd like to see that policy in action.
I like what you said. It's complicated. If I could have a family crest, if I was the type of person to have a family crest, I would put "it's complicated" on it, because that is true of so much in life. It's been such a short time. I hope we can have you back, Dr. Amanda Adelaide. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Of course. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, and again, just for listeners, I know that seemed sort of almost absurdly short, but Dr. Adelaide was with a patient today, so we weren't able to go to her until the very end of our program, but I'm glad we were able to get some time with her. Thank you to everyone who called today, left a voicemail, sent text messages, that sort of thing. You can always keep in touch with us through our website, 21stshow.org. We've got our voicemail line there, our email address, which is talk@21stshow.org. You can also find links to find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube now. You can find us on YouTube. Just search for The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.